Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I want to welcome in Mayor Pernarisky from Waterbury here on Brian and Company. First of all, it's good to meet you. We've never met.
Nope. It's nice to meet you as well. Thanks for having me this morning.
And you've been a longtime public servant, and then you stepped into this position when Mayor O'Leary stepped aside. Did you always want to do this? Or like, tell me about sort of the genesis of you going from obviously a prominent position in Waterbury politics, but being the mayor of the city is a totally different animal.
Yeah, so I was an alderman for about 22 or 23 years before running for mayor. I joined the Board of Aldermen in 2002. A guy that I'd gone to college with for a couple of years, Mike Jarjura, was running for mayor and asked me to run with him, and we were able to get in. I actually lost the primary, but I got appointed when someone dropped off in 2002, and I've been there since. And, you know, we spent a lot of time. The city was in bad shape in 2002 when we took over. It had been bankrupt. We had two mayors sitting in federal prisons.
Yeah.
And so there was a long haul to dig us out. We had an oversight board for 5 years. So over that time, you know, and I'm a lifelong Waterbury resident. I love right. it. I went to law school in Washington, but moved back home afterwards because I wanted to be here. My family's here. And, you know, we continue to work at it. So I worked with Mike for 10 years and then 12 years with Neil O'Leary very closely. I was president of the Board of Aldermen by then, working on getting development going in the city, getting the finances stabilized, getting the reputation of the city rebuilt over all those years. So when Neil decided that after 12 years he'd had enough, I was at a point in my career where I'd had over 30 years between the Attorney General's office and then as General Counsel to the Connecticut Airport Authority, where I could retire.
So you could do alderman and keep your job, do your job.
Right, alderman's okay. a part-time yeah. job, and because of the nature of what I was doing and how I was being paid in both of those positions, it didn't trigger the Hatch Act and some problems that sometimes right. government officials have. So I was able to do all of that. And with the retirement, I decided that, the city at that point it's in good shape. It really is in good shape financially. Obviously, there's still a lot to do to keep the city going. And I thought that I was in a good position to try to continue moving it forward. So I decided to take the retirement and run for mayor. And fortunately, I was successful at that. And we've been in now
you're in the
almost
midterm.
2 years. Yeah. So we're coming up on elections this year for aldermen and half the Board of Education.
There's a tremendous amount of talk about with Mayor Paul Pernarisky here, but you say it's going, well, and there's a lot to do. I mean, listen, we all know I grew up in north of Boston, and every state in New England is littered with mid-sized cities with Industrial Revolution glory that has had to deal with it. And we've seen, certain places that I've seen, like Manchester, New Hampshire, what they did with all those old mill buildings and with Southern New Hampshire University. And some cities have just hit it out of the park with responding to it. But it's very difficult to get population growth, real organic growth, because your glory days are gone. And in whether it's Brass City or the Clock City, I mean, Waterbury's history, the people are from Waterbury, love Waterbury in a way that's different.
Right.
I mean,
it's got to be from there to understand.
Really, really, because my father-in-law grew up there. My wife went to St. Margaret McTernan, so mm-hmm. I, which is no longer in existence.
Now Aces at Chase's. It's had several iterations. The newest one is Aces at Chase's.
So it's still in existence. I thought it went under.
Well, St. Margaret McTernan did, but the building and the campus are still being used. It's still operating as a school.
So I guess we'll talk about all the little things. We only have like 2 minutes before we take another break. When you say it's going well, what is going well?
So here, you're right about Waterbury and the strength of its citizens and people loving Waterbury. And even people who move out always will tell you they're from Waterbury. And
right.
Wherever I go in the
there's
country,
a pride there.
I meet people from Waterbury and they want to talk about it. But here's where we're, like industrial cities throughout the Northeast, we had a bad time starting in the 1970s. Factories moved away. The brass industry, the need for brass has come down with lighter materials. The Vietnam War ended. A lot of different things happened, right? The difference here and some of the mill towns is the factories that we had, which were working with brass, that process is filled with pollutants, and especially the way they used to do it. Some of these factories have been operating for more than 100 years. So we were really saddled with these brownfields that are untouchable. I mean, most of them cost, you know, multi-tens of millions of dollars to clean up, and they've sat vacant because of the inability of private.
So there's the cost benefit. You can't develop it because it costs too much to remediate it.
Yeah. So the government has to step in and do it. And over the last 12 years, my predecessor, Neil O'Leary, really undertook that as he was going to take it on and get it done. And he's done a great job. We're moving in that direction. But here's when I say we're doing well here. So the population is.
By the way, I'm not insinuating that you're not.
I know. Yeah. I appreciate that. You know, we're at about 115,000 people. We've gained 5,000 people since the last census. Yep. By 2020. A lot of that people driven in who had come in from New York because of COVID and the rest, but decided they liked the lifestyle there. And I talked to a lot of the New Yorkers who moved to Connecticut, and they will tell you they like our neighborhoods, they like our schools. You know, they think the city is relatively safe. So that's going along well. But as I said, when we took over in 2002, the city was bankrupt. At that point, it owed $100 million in bills and debt that it could not pay. It did not have the money to pay. It was able to bond that money only because the state of Connecticut stepped up and backed those bonds. We had junk bond status. We had an oversight board for 5 years. The pension fund was funded at something like 18% at that point. So we were in bad shape. And the reputation of the city was in shreds. As I said, two mayors in jail, both started investigations for corruption. And then the mayor in 2002 went away for molesting, you know, 4 and 5 year old girls, right? Yeah. It was a horrible story. Over the years, you know, we've built back those relationships with the state of Connecticut so that we're, you know, a solid partner now with the state of Connecticut. Governor Malloy, Governor Lamont have been very helpful partners with us over the years in providing us with development money. Private investors, right now, we have 11 buildings, historic buildings in downtown Waterbury that have been bought by new developers in the last couple of years. And putting in their own money, they're converting a lot of the excess office space into apartments. And by the end of this year or so, we're on track to have 200 new apartments in downtown Waterbury. Our bond rating has gone from junk bond status to A- with a stable outlook. So we're in a solid position financially.
So we're going to just take a quick pause, and we appreciate it, with Mayor Paul Pernarusky, the mayor of Waterbury. We continue with Waterbury Mayor Paul Pernarusky, Democrat from Waterbury. Although when it comes to municipalities, party affiliation means a lot less in the sense that, you know, you're all trying to solve the same things and balance budgets in the same way, although partisan politics obviously get involved. You know, you talked about relative safety. You mentioned the thing about the population growth and the units coming online. When you talk about relative safety, you know, listen, I don't think that the National Guard's coming to Waterbury, but it's also a major issue in municipalities. You know, obviously they tried to go to Chicago and couldn't. Now they want to go to, I think it's Memphis. And they've been in L.A. and they've been in D.C. Where are you on the trajectory and the trends when it relates to crime?
Yeah. So, you know, 2019 in Waterbury was, you know, part of the trend across the country. Crime in cities was at an all-time historic low. Post-COVID, those numbers shot up and crime went up everywhere. And we were not immune to that in Waterbury. The other issue we faced is from 2020 on for a couple of years for a number of different reasons, the post-COVID slump and being able to hire people, the BLM movement, a lot of police officers left and it was hard to either hire them or retain them within the city. So we should have 300 officers. That's the number that we shoot for. Right.
And it was 250 when you came in.
Yep, and it was 250. And now we're up to about 297. We're graduating a class tonight. Those officers count because once they go in the academy, they count as part of our number. But we're at about 297. And when we hit 300, we have applied for and been approved for a federal COPS grant. So we will look to hire another 15 officers, and the feds will pay about half of their salary. So we can get to 315 so that as we have attrition, we could stay at that 300 number. That has allowed the chief to put special units back out on the streets, you know, the drug units, the special gang units, the traffic units, because with 250, you're just trying to man the normal the staffing right. routine. So with those numbers, we've made a big difference. We've also taken a look at some of what can make a difference in policing. And Waterbury's always had a heavily community-based police program, and you can see that in the numbers. So unlike a lot of cities, the solve rate, especially for serious violent crimes or murders in Waterbury, is close to 100% because our officers have a great relationship with the community, and there's a lot of information that flows back and forth, and they solve most of those crimes. You know, we're at a point now where overall the crime rates are dropping. The violent crime rates have dropped significantly throughout the city. Some things remain, you know, some of the quality of life issues stay up there. Some of the car theft issues are still up there. Part of that is because juveniles are still part of that revolving door justice system, right? Juveniles get picked up and released, and they're right. The ones who commit a lot of the car crimes. The violent crimes, we're starting to see, part of it is we're starting to see a change in the attitude towards holding those. The legislature made some changes 2 years ago. So if you're if you're picked up now for a serious gun crime or a violent crime, the courts are imposing heavy bonds. They're proposing $1 million, $2 million, $3 million bonds, but at least 50% of that has to be cash. It's not 10%. So if you've got a $300 million
bond, so they're not getting back out on the street.
So they're being held, and that's helping with the crime. More police officers on the street, making proactive stops are helping to get the numbers down as well. And we're concentrating, you know, there's been a heavier focus on where is the crime occurring and where do we need officers. So we know right now there's been, you know, in the last month or 6 weeks, there have been two shootings on Willow Street. So, you know, we know that's a heavily crimed area. You talk to the PD, and what we know is 25% of all violent crimes are happening in, you know, a 4 or 5 block area right mm-hmm. there. 20% of all the crime in Waterbury, 100% of the prostitution. So, you know,
is it all drug related?
It's drug or gang related. Okay. And a lot of folks, you know, coming from out of town. So the last two shootings involved perpetrators who had come in from out of town because that's where they came in to buy their drugs or whatever. And there were disputes that were going on. So we've got the police command post up there now, which has made a huge difference. And more importantly, and this will be a continuation, is we've put some foot patrols up there. So what you used to call beats around there. Yep. Those are making a difference as well. And I've been up there just the other day. I ride the bus about once a quarter. We rode the Willow Street route, and we've been up in that neighborhood walking around and talking to people. And with the heavier presence right now and the foot patrols and the rest, we're really seeing a decrease in what's happening up there. And people are feeling safer. And two or three people have told me that who live in the area that recently they've heard a lot of noise outside their window and they looked out because they thought something was going on. Turns out it's kids playing outside, something they haven't seen in a long time.
Well, and we got to take a break, but the police presence is one thing, but you know, obviously you want to go root cause as well, keeping more kids in school and all those other things. And we'll get to maybe some education stuff. I definitely want to talk about the hospital situation and the traffic situation. We're here with Mayor Paul Pernarewski from the city of Waterbury. We're going to take a quick break here. Mayor Paul Pernarewski here from the city of Waterbury. I want to get to the traffic in the hospital, but I want to ask you, again, I have all my pet peeves as a host about towns. Like, apartments are great. Like, I always say this with Mayor Arunan too. Like, I want neighborhoods. And in these developed areas in New England, it's hard to create neighborhoods, but is there ever a conversation, whether it's these pocket neighborhoods or townhomes or something? Because I know apartments are more profitable. Developers, they develop them because they can multiple units, but like apartment buildings don't always foster neighborhoods. Like, do you ever talk about that kind of development?
So, you know, Waterbury is well-developed as far as neighborhoods go. We have a lot of well-established neighborhoods that have been there, and they continue to thrive. There's a lot of turnover. You know, with the new folks moving in and they've remained, we're not replacing those. So with the development that's going on right now with the apartments that I was talking about are downtown, which are transitions from office use to apartment use. There are folks these days, and we're seeing a trend of people who either very young people who, you know, as a rule these days don't like to drive or they want to be close to where they are, having apartments downtown where they can walk to a lot of different places. Or we're seeing a lot of like empty nesters, people who get to be a
right, to downsize.
Kids move out, yeah. And they want to downsize, get rid of the houses out in the suburbs and be out.
Do you have services? Like, do you have like coffee shops and grocery options for people in downtown?
That's what we're working on right now. There are a number of little restaurants downtown now and coffee shops that people can get to. There's about 3 or 4 of them downtown that are operating right now. Grocery stores are still not downtown. That's an issue in cities. But we do have a developer who took down the old Miller and Peck building And he's looking to put up about 5 to 6 stories of housing there. But the first level, his plan is to put in a grocery store.
That would be huge. I noticed in Springfield, they have this like Big Y Express downtown. Yeah. So it's like a mini. So it has some essentials and stuff. And I even said this to Runin, like, that sounds like a good little bridge right there. You know, because people don't want to then drive 20 minutes out of the city to get, you know, some apples and some salad stuff. Okay, quickly, we have like let's talk about the hospital stuff's a little bigger, so we'll wait for 850. There's an article in the paper about the Mixmaster, what the proposals and so on and so forth, and like how do you think? And people get frustrated; they get to exit 26 and they're stopped, and they don't know why, right? I mean, what can be done about that? And I know it's more of a state or a federal issue. Yeah. But what would you like to see happen?
So what they're proposing, I mean, what I'd like to see happen, and if you lived in a perfect world, is that highways would not go through the center of cities, right? They would go around cities like we do in other places. But
that horse is well out of the barn.
So we're sort of stuck with what happens. And we've got two highways, right? One runs north and south, runs east and west. They divide the city in that
You're talking
regard.
8 and 84.
And 84. Yeah. And that's and where they converge is what you're describing as the Mixmaster, which is a very complicated, I bet, when it was built in the 60s, state-of-the-art type interchange. But they've just spent a lot of work and a lot of money on it to shore it up. It was at the end of its useful life. It was not dangerous, but it was getting there. So now they've added another 25, I think, to 50 years of life to it. But the ultimate goal is to redo that and to shifted a little bit. Again, in an ideal world, what you would do is build a brand new highway next to it or somewhere close to it, knock the old one
but
down.
But that's billions of dollars.
But that's not going to happen. Yeah. Part of the reason is there's just not the property there. You know, these are very narrow corridors to do it in. So they're looking at redoing the Mixmaster. There are two different proposals. One would shift Route 8 to the other side of the river from where it is. One would keep it where it is. I think ultimately when that's all built out, there may be some additional development options down there. I think some of the access to the river can get reclaimed that we've lost by having the highways there. But the other piece that they're going to do that I think is going to be beneficial to the city as well is they are going to redo a lot of the local streets. Part of what adds to the traffic in Waterbury is to get from one side of town to the other right now, and I do this, the easiest thing to do is hop on the highway to drive across town. So that adds a lot of traffic to the highway that's not really highway traffic.
Interesting.
And so if they can, what they call accessory roads, or frontage roads, if they can redo some of those locally to make it easier to transverse the city from one side to the other on those local roads,
that'll ease some of the congestion on the highway.
Coming through on the highway.
We're talking with Mayor Paul Pernarewski from the City of Waterbury here in Bryan & Company. Quick check on something real estate related, then we'll check on traffic here before we talk about this hospital mess in Connecticut that has a direct response. And, you know, Waterbury has two hospitals, St. Mary's and Waterbury Hospital, that are big fixtures in the city, and we'll talk about that. We're talking with Mayor Paul Pernarewski from the City of Waterbury. And so I honestly got to tell you, I have stayed away from this hospital thing. It just seems like a disaster. I don't understand it. I have a healthy distrust of healthcare in general because I just think that, you know, I pay all these premiums and I pay deductibles. I just feel like healthcare is a disaster in this country and I don't know what to do to solve it. So I just tend to not want to talk about it. But I know, like, my father-in-law was the chief of staff at St. Mary's for a stretch of time. So I know that St. Mary's and Waterbury Hospital not only are visual fixtures in the city, but they're important to the city. And Waterbury Hospital was bought by private equity, which we know they load up debt and then they sell it off, but this one couldn't even do that, right? I mean, they ran out of money, I guess. I don't know. So you have this hospital with a rich history and an institutional importance to the city, and now we're hearing the state might buy it. So just tell us the situation from your perspective and tell us what you want to happen.
So as you say, we have the two hospitals in Waterbury
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Been here forever, and they're both really critical to healthcare within the city and the region. And in addition to that, they're the largest employers in the city of Waterbury together.
That.
So, you know, that is also an important consideration. As a lot of healthcare and a lot, you know, has been struggling lately financially with all of it, and this has been going on for a number of years, the two hospitals over time, we've been looking, there's been a real effort to try to see what we can do. At one point, there was actually a proposal to merge the two hospitals with an entity that would have, you know, had one large hospital, which I think might have actually been the ultimate answer to this, because you would have economies of scale and you could focus on expertise in different places instead of duplicating services the way you have now. But we do need both hospitals operating in some form, because we need that capacity. I mean, you get to any normal day, the hospitals are both, working overtime, especially in the ER, but you hit those seasons, the flu season and times in the winter, where they're both, well overcrowded.
So they're both really busy. That was one of my questions.
Yeah.
The city, from a capacity standpoint, needs them both.
Yeah. So
did Prospect do a good job managing it?
No, Prospect did a lousy job managing it. They bought it. They sold off the underlying real property to MPT. They agreed to pay rent to MPT, which was a way to suck out all of
just
the profits of the hospital.
Because yeah.
Waterbury was a profitable hospital, and they took all that money out of it. So now we're left with this mess that was there. The bankruptcy, Yale was going to buy it. They've backed out of the deal. I understand they were in mediation this week. They have settled their case. I don't know what the numbers are, but reports are that they've settled it.
What do you want to see happen? So, what do you want based on reality,
What I really want to see happen with what's going on now is a purchaser for the hospital that is not a private equity company, that is going to focus on medical care, that is going to put money into that hospital, that's going to build it up and provide the services that we need. And by doing that, I think also, up St. Mary's game, the Trinity Hospital that's in Waterbury, and up their game as well in the competition. I do think that the state – Yale would have been a really good partner for all of that, by the way. But that's –
Why they back off?
There were – because as the deal dragged on and waiting for the CON to get approved, they began to uncover a lot of fiscal irregularities and debt that was out there that wasn't – they weren't paying their taxes. They weren't paying their suppliers. They weren't putting money into the pension fund. They weren't paying the – they owe the state $130 million in taxes at this point. They owe the city about $22 million in taxes between personal and real property taxes. So they were just sucking money out of it, and it made it hard. And the people working there, let me just say this, the staff working there, the doctors, the nurses, the aides, the cafeteria workers, everybody who was there continued to do first-rate work, but they were hampered by the fact that they didn't have supplies, they didn't have access to a lot of the things they needed. So I'm looking for someone to come in, put in the capital that's there, and I think – as I understand this UConn deal right now, that's what they're looking to do. They're going to put in, several hundred thousand dollars in capital into the hospital if they're the successful bidder. The state is going to back that to make sure that it's sustainable over the next few years. I think it's going to take them at least 5 years to get to a break-even point.
But then you got to restructure the debt then, right?
Yeah, that's all going – all of that is part of the bankruptcy.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
That's and the bankruptcy has been complicated by the fact that Prospect Holdings is the hospital now. MPT is the real property owner. MPT is not in the bankruptcy, but obviously the real property is critical to whatever you resolve in the bankruptcy as well. So,
okay. So to summarize it, you're okay with the indications from the state of how they would handle it if they were to acquire it.
Yes. Yes.
And then, in the absence of that, you'd like a private entity that is not private equity.
Correct.
But do they exist in America now? Are there hospital groups that could buy it, that wouldn't run it like that and just I mean, listen, it's been sucked dry enough. I don't think anyone could squeeze any more out of
it. Yeah, I don't, you know, unfortunately, there's not a whole lot there at this point, which is what the issue is. There's not a ton of bidders that lined up for the bankruptcy either. I think there is a for-profit that's in there. I mean, you still do have these entities. Hartford Health is out there. You know, I don't know if they're interested in Waterbury at this point.
We would have known it, I think, if they were.
But the other piece of what UConn is doing is also they're going to, you know, they're looking to acquire Bristol Hospital, Day Kimball Hospital, and then create their own internal network within the state of Connecticut. And, you know, when I met this week with the legislators, with John Driscoll's the chair, and Dr. Andrew Aguinobi, who's the CEO of the hospital, you know, they're looking to create a network that will make them able to offer medical care at lower prices.
They need scale.
Quality care.
They need scale.
They need the scale, right.
They absolutely, that's what it seems like they're talking about. So. And you know, I don't necessarily, the funding is the issue. Now, they're talking about bonding it, and I think there'd be some pushback politically on the funding of it as opposed to using some of the surplus because they don't want to have to deal with the spending caps. And all the stuff that
those are discussions that are going on right now is how do they get there within the parameters?
Just real quick, because I want to sum up. When do you think this will get resolved? When do you think we'll know if the state would do this?
I think you're going to see this happen in the next few days. I think the bids are going to come in quickly, and there's going to be some, you know, moving on this right now. Okay. So if everybody gets together, but I think we're going to know sooner rather than later. But I told somebody the other day, if I had a nickel for every time somebody told me this is going to be solved in two weeks, you know.
Of course. Mayor Paul Pernarusky from the city of Waterbury. We've got about a minute left. I don't want you to, they're all your babies, but give us a restaurant or two for people to hit. What are people visiting? No, like people are listening, you know what, maybe I'll give Waterbury a shot, you know?
No, we have a lot of really great restaurants throughout the city, a lot of different ethnic restaurants that have come in now. You know, downtown, if you're looking to come downtown, you know, probably one of the best restaurants down there is the Oreos. Right on Bank Street there. You know, San Marino is a good choice if you're going down there. But there's a lot of other. Mama Joanna's is a new restaurant that opened out on Wolcott Street. It's got some great food there. So there's a number of different restaurants. Whatever you're looking for, we have it in Waterbury. So come on down, give us a look. And I think, you know, with the development we have going on, with a lot of the interest we have from developers, if we come back and talk in 5 years, we're going to be able to talk about a much different looking downtown Waterbury and a much different vibe there in Waterbury. So,
well, listen, I know you're busy. We appreciate the time. And again, like we love to plug in, like we say with the Matrix, and like learn something, you know, about a city or a town that we didn't know a lot about. So thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me. It's great to talk about Waterbury.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.